Oh, you know what that music means. Hour number three. It's time to bring in Mr. Smoky Mountain Range, Vince Ferrara. WNML, the sports animal. Our paths will not cross. We'll be like two ships in the night when I head down to Tampa next week. He's going to Tampa, but after SEC Media Days in Atlanta. So we'll be, again, two ships passing the night. I hate that because you did make an offer over the weekend that we would have definitely taken you up on. Mama Ferrara's cooking, because I've seen pictures, and that would have been a big yes for us.
Well, there's some Italian blood in the McFarland household, so I think that's even more appreciation. But you know your good food there, Darren. So yeah, unfortunate that we can't be there and escort you over to dinner and hang out for a little bit. But hopefully we'll get to do it at some point.
Not making the trek down to Atlanta, but certainly have made many treks to SEC Media Days over the years. And Willie's been a part of it. Chase has been a part of it. Big themes, you know, whether it was Johnny Manziel, that was a crazy SEC Media Days. Willie, you remember that well. Tim Tebow, Philip Fulmer getting served. I mean, we had some crazy, crazy moments.
I forgot that happened.
Oh, man, that was nuts. How much do you think, I don't, it's not going to be to those levels, but how much do you think really all of these media days that are going to start taking place is going to be dominated by this, you know, news of USC and UCLA and Oklahoma and Texas and all, you know, especially the Big Ten and the SEC seem like they're about to take over college athletics. How much do you think is going to dominate dominate SEC media days?
Well, and don't forget, last year, Oklahoma and Texas, that news came out during media day. So I don't know that the SEC was really ready to address that at the time. And then, of course, they did after all the media dispersed back to where they came from. But, yeah, I do think that that's going to be a big topic. That, along with NIL, transfer portal, the on-the-field stuff, unfortunately, is going to be lower on the to-do list for a lot of reporters because people want to get the big soundbite. You'll have plenty of national reporters there. You'll have people trying to make a name for themselves, and you want to get the big reaction. I'm sure the Saban-Jimbo thing will come back, even though they didn't really – address it, and Sankey told them not to say anything about it. They'll try to rope Lane Kiffin into it. So those things will happen. And learning the way we've often done it, where you learn about a lot of the teams, that's what I personally enjoy, is to be able to learn about those teams. So I say this to Vol fans all the time. Don't discount media days and learning about the other schools, because it gives you a better perspective of your team and where you fit in the grand scheme of things. So that's, you can get out of whack when you're just 1,000% focused with blinders on your team. You get excited with some news and then you kind of lose sight. Well, there's some other teams that are going to factor in this thing as well. So I do think, Darren, all those other things will be the first order of business for a lot of people. And, you know, when it goes nowhere or people don't have much to say about it, people will be like, all right, well, I guess I'll ask you about your offensive line or the quarterback competition.
Right. Yeah.
So reluctantly they'll go to football after they try all those other things.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I know you're going to talk about some renovation projects to Neyland that I guess just got approved. But what's interesting is something we were talking about on the show last week that I'll be curious to know if you guys have been talking about this as well. You're going to, before you answer about the renovations, we're kind of going through, you know, the steps where before, okay, we need, you know, bigger concourses or more bathrooms or more concessions, better Wi-Fi, whatever, bigger seats, you know, all the typical stuff that as we grow, you know, as these stadiums get older and older and older and outdated, you would just lean to your big donors and say, hey, I need a check from you, need a check from you. Okay, done. All right, let's start with the renovation project. Let's get the plans together. Let's unveil it, and away we go. But now you've got NIL that you brought up. And you do wonder, like, how much – I mean, UT is in the middle of one of the biggest NIL stories where supposedly they got a guy who hasn't taken a snap yet that's getting ready to make millions, supposedly. So how does that affect when you're trying to do the stuff that we just thought was normal operating procedure stuff, where now that same donor that you would have said, hey, I need $1 million for stadium renovations – instead, I can't go to you for that because I already asked you for $1 million for that player that we need.
Yeah, it's a fair question, and it's something that has been discussed because there is that theory that, look, boosters, rather than donating to the university where they could use your donation money in any number of ways, maybe to assist sports that you might not particularly care for or want backed up with your dollars, they may instead give to the collectives to help make NIL deals to specifically go directly towards those student athletes. There's certainly that possibility. I imagine that may have already happened, not just at Tennessee, but a number of other schools. The question is that does it get at so much of a highway to redirect those funds away from the school and straight to those collectives to get them into the hands of the student athletes and NIL deals to where it's detrimental. Danny White was asked when he met with just a handful of media members when they were going over the Rise Glorious thing, which I'm sure we'll get into, and their expectations for championships. He was asked, hey, is there that concern that the donors won't want to give to you, that they'll instead give NIL? And he said no, and that hadn't really happened. So maybe it will eventually, but it doesn't seem like it's had that impact so far. But it's something you got to keep an eye on. And like, this thing is constantly changing. Now, I'm guessing there's plenty of people that are giving money to collectives that they don't even know who it's going towards or what. I mean, you talk about your money not paying off. Who knows where that money goes to in terms of an NIL deal, unless you can specifically earmark it. Maybe it goes towards a player that didn't work out. Now you're going to have people complaining that, you know, hey, that's not who I wanted my money to go to. So it can just get really messy from that standpoint, and there are more people that can be blamed. But look, they just got $108 million on that topic of the renovations. They had to up the budget from 2017 for the Neyland Stadium renovations, up another $108 million. So, and they've budgeted it. So they expect to get that money. They're constantly working on fundraising. Fundraising, I think, is up. So people are giving money right now. As long as things stay positive with the football program, I think you'll still be able to get that money and not have too big a holes because people are redirecting towards NIL.
All right, a lot more to get to with Vince Ferrara on the other side, and we will do that. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
Let's talk Loan Pronto. With your home value up, you have the opportunity to access a lot of money. So don't let it sit there. If you need it, use it. You can use it through Loan Pronto. Pay off high-interest credit cards, other types of loans. Do the home improvement project you've been looking for. Get a down payment ready for a new home if you want to go there. Or stash away for a safety net. All of these things are good options for you, and Loan Pronto can unlock it. You can get $50,000, $75,000, $100,000, and the payments are crazy low right now. So think what you could do with $75,000 or $100,000 right now. Loan Pronto makes unlocking your equity easy. Even with the home equity line, you can access up to 97% of your home's value. So don't let all of that money pile up. In equity, turn your house into an ATM machine and address some of the things that you need right now. Get yourself credit card debt free. That would be big. Call Loan Pronto right now. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval.
Ah, yes. Smoky Mountain Rain bringing us back as we talk to Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the sports animal up in Knoxville, talking some Vols with SEC Media Days coming up next week. But, Vince, I kind of want to go here, which, as you alluded to earlier, is going to be a topic at SEC Media Days. But it's obviously important for Josh Heupel to have success and build off the success that he did in year one with this football team. But is there now even more pressure to continue the success in recruiting, continue the success on the field because of what's looming with these super conferences and where Tennessee would fall with the Texas and Oklahomas and Alabamas and Georgias that are going to be in the super SEC and who knows who else is going to join us as well?
Well, Chase, good to talk to you, by the way. It's been
a
while.
Hi, Vinny.
But, Chase, and we need to talk some wrestling at some point privately, but if they're feeling pressure, they're not showing it right now with the role that they're on in recruiting. I think they understand that, look, the trend is going to continue to where the haves and the have-nots are going to separate, and then you're going to have a whole bunch of haves grouped together, and that's going to make it more challenging. Just like Oklahoma and Texas coming into the SEC is going to make it more challenging. They're already recruiting to that. So I don't know that they've been negatively impacted by those schools. The closer you get, the more the reality of them being in, the more I think that will be something they'll have to deal with. But Oklahoma and Texas are selling the SEC. And if there are more moves towards those, you know, mega conferences, whether it's four super conferences or just a big two Fox and ESPN league, it will make it more difficult because you're just going to have all the haves and loaded one after another. But Tennessee has done a real nice job in recruiting, and I think they've had one of the better off seasons in the SEC. So they're handling it pretty well. But you know how this goes, guys. You can have short periods of time of success, and Tennessee is making the most of this offseason right now in this buzz in recruiting. But though that positivity can come to a halt quickly if the product on the field doesn't match everything else that's gone really well. Maybe it will be the payoff to what they're doing now, but we've seen it before where it's going one direction for a while and then it can change quickly. So we'll see.
Well, and I look at this season, for instance, and in my opinion, I see at least 9 wins, perhaps 10. Now, I look at Georgia and Alabama and say they're probably not beating Georgia or Alabama this year. Eventually, they get to that point where, why aren't you beating Georgia or Alabama? Why aren't you in that conversation? But is there a point with these super conferences where 9 wins isn't good enough anymore, where you know the fan base goes, okay, why do we have to settle for just being that 9-win team, which is good compared to where they've been at times in the past? At what point does it have to get to, no, they're competing and they're right there hanging with the Alabamas and Georgias?
Maybe at some point, but as you know, Chase, they have work to do just to take the steps before that, right? You getting into contention in your division, I think that's step one before, you know, you get to that. So I don't know that's something that, you know, the fans are thinking about long term. I think you need to show the progress. And then you feel better. Fans will feel better about being in a position to, as the competition gets tougher and the expansion the realignment and expansion continues to progress, and you feel you're in a better spot. But man, only in year two under Heupel, they need to show that next step on the field. So I think that's where the concentration is now versus, hey, where are we long term? Again, because fans have kind of been there, done that, right? You have the positivity for a little while, and then it derails. So I do think fans are excited about this year. And, you know, you're on the positive side in your win possibilities, and plenty of fans are. but you have to pay that off before I think you start thinking about sustaining when you get into realignment or larger conferences.
Talking to Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal in Knoxville. Vince, I'm going to throw this at you. I threw this at Darren and Max last week. And Chase, you can listen in on this because I'd love to get your take on it. But Vince, you say, I know they're doing some renovations to Neyland. And with that and the NIL side by side, I'm curious how this works. Okay, you're Vince, you're a big donor to Tennessee. I'm Joe Fundraiser over at the Tennessee offices. And so I call you and I say, Vince, we're doing some renovations to Neyland. You've been a loyal season ticket holder. I hope you like your suite and the setup you've got with the booze and the food. You got it all there because you've been so great to the Volunteers. But hey, we'd really like to ask for $50,000 because we got these renovations we've got to do to Neyland. You do scoreboards, whatever it is. Then you've got Joe Collective over here that gives you a call about an hour later and saying, Vince, huge supporter of the Vols, we got this collective going. We got this awesome quarterback, Chase McCabe. He's a 5-star. We got to get this guy. But we need to be able to guarantee some NIL funds. So what can you pitch in? Can you pitch in 50 grand? So my question is, the group that goes to Joe Collective, is it displacing from Jim Fundraiser? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it displacing, or do these people have enough money where it doesn't really matter?
Yeah, it goes a little bit to what we were talking about before. I right now, Danny White is saying that it's not taking away from their donations, and people are able to do both. And maybe for some that aren't able to do both, maybe there's enough to where you can get both of those things done. It obviously is asking for a lot of money. Danny White has said and emphasized that the renovations to their facilities, definitely Neyland Stadium is project number one, but all their facilities that is critical to championships. He was asked how close they are to being able to have, you know, a championship program, and he said they're not close because they have a long way to go to get their facilities up to the results on the field, because Tennessee football, baseball, basketball is good to run as anyone in those sports combined. So the on the field has gone pretty well. Yes, they need to cash in on the championships, but they still feel like there's money out there. They'll incentivize things for the money to the school in terms of seating, in terms of different things that they can give them as benefits to the donations, and really leverage being a UT fan to try to get them to donate. So there's probably more artillery that the university has to leverage and incentivize donors than maybe the collectives right now, even though the collectives is for NIL is sort of the hot thing. But
do you see long-term where that would be a fair question for any school? Not, I'm not just saying Tennessee alone, but Tennessee obviously has been out in front of this collective thing. But it just would seem to me that phone call, those two phone calls, would create a dilemma for somebody, unless somebody has got deep enough pockets to where it really doesn't matter. But I would think at least for a cross-section of those fans, you would have to, if you've been donating for the last 10, 20 years, as long as you've been a fan, which I'm sure is the case, and now on top of that, the collectives would like to get that. I mean, that's what do you do? There's not new money there.
Yes, and it's something that I think will be more of a concern as time goes on, but to this point, it doesn't seem like it's been an issue, and so I think they've been able to do both with how successful the fundraising has been, and still the collectives being the most successful that they've had. And maybe there's a little bit of private strategy there and where they go. You know, obviously you may field a phone call from a donor and say, hey, I want to put this towards student athletes versus the university. But maybe there's a little bit of strategy in saying, all right, here's who we're donating. Here's who's donating to us. Maybe we can try some other avenues to try to get some different dollars so we're not putting those into those positions. But yes, there will be some crossover and a concern that the money won't go to the university.
Quickly, before we let you go, tell me what the draft looks like for the Tennessee players, Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, right. The two top guys that I think are pretty safe first round bets. Nothing's ever safe with the MLB draft. Are Drew Gilbert and Jordan Beck. Kylie McDaniel is a top draft analyst for ESPN. Released his newest and last top 300 prospects. He has Drew Gilbert at 11. I mean, absolutely raving about Gilbert. Says he's a number one player on his so who do you like more than anyone else list. He said he's the heart and soul of the best college team he's ever seen. First non-reliever to the big leagues in this draft. Happy to push my chips to the middle for Gilbert. Tell me something he can't do. I mean, loves him. He also has a mocked 24 to the Red Sox a little bit later. Jordan Beck reverse. He has Jordan Beck 25, mocked 10th overall to Colorado. And then Blake Tidwell, Trey Lipscomb, Ben Joyce, Jarrell Ortega are all in his top 300. If any of those guys, I think, get drafted, they're more than likely gone. And they have one signee in there, and Alex Stanwich, a center fielder. Surprised that a couple of their top pitchers aren't in there, but he has him at 194 as a center fielder. And that's where it's kind of interesting, where Tennessee may not get devastated by the draft like some others because they had a good signing class, but they don't have a top five signing class. So they kept most of their guys last year. If you get most of your guys this year, the way they've been able to develop and pick the right players, could have a nice group that comes in to help out for this team next year, while some other teams, Vanderbilt, LSU, to name a few, absolutely loaded with guys, first-round projected with their signees. So that could be a little bit more difficult. And as everybody there knows, Vanderbilt's been hit by the draft a little bit harder as of late with not as many of those key elite guys going to school. A few more of them have been going to the MLB draft. So we'll see how that all plays out. But it could hurt some of those teams a little bit more than Tennessee the way it looks on paper right now.
Vince, good stuff as always. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, appreciate it, guys. I'll talk to you from Atlanta next week.
Yes, sir. SEC Media Days will be underway in Atlanta. We will have a presence down there as well.
We will. That's right. Caroline Fenton and Michelle Knezovic will be representing us down in Atlanta for our SEC Media Days coverage, so looking forward to that.
There you go. Good stuff. Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville. More DDC next.